Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see all of you survive the time change. We kept our 2-year-old nieces this weekend, and it was a little bit rough with the time change. We will be smarter next time. But we are so glad to see you all this morning as we gather together in God's house to worship. It's just so good to continue to be able to be together. I wanted to lift up just a few announcements. Next Saturday evening, our children's ministry is hosting an Easter jam. And if you would like to donate candy for their egg hunt, you can drop it off at the front door of the church office anytime before Thursday. And then we are looking forward to a full week during Holy Week, including our Monday Thursday service and our Good Friday service. And both of those will be held at 7 o'clock in the evening in the sanctuary in this space. And then for Easter morning, we're going to be offering 5 services, 3 traditional services in this room, along with 2 contemporary services down in the gym. And we do hope that you're going to pre-register for your preferred service, either online or by calling the church office. And the registration link was sent in the e-news and is also on our Facebook page. But you can, of course, call the church office if you need to do that as well. And there are a number of other announcements in your bulletin. We need some volunteers for different worship opportunities. There's just a lot going on as we're coming back into the full swing of church life. So we hope that you'll take a look at those and note the opportunities that you would like to be a part of. But now, friends, we are just glad to be together in God's house. Let us do what we've been called to this time and this place to do, and that is to worship God.
Thank you.
Let us hear these words from the third chapter of Exodus. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush did not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. And this is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Go assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. This is the word of God for the people of God.
The New Testament lesson today is from Acts chapter 12, verses 6 through 11. Peter delivered from prison. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter, bound with two chains, was sleeping between two soldiers, while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to him, fasten your belt and put on your sandals. He did so. Then he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and the second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane, when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I'm sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and for from all that the Jewish people were expecting. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Holy Father, I ask that you would bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together, that they may be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, several years ago, when I was introducing a pastor to her new church, one of the things that would happen in those would be everybody would be kind of stressed because everybody's trying to make a good impression when you're meeting a new minister for the first time. And so it came out during her introduction that this pastor didn't wear shoes when she preached. And I had heard this little tidbit about her when I was looking at trying to bring her into my district, but I didn't think it was going to come up in her introduction. And I remember thinking to myself, well, that's a little bit weird, but it's not the weirdest thing I'd heard coming out of one of my minister's mouths in one of those introductions. And so the staff parish committee started asking her about it, and she explained the story of Moses, who told Moses, "Take off your shoes, because the ground that you are standing on is holy." And once my minister friend explained herself, we all got it. And from that point forward, nobody cared about her feet. In fact, they started really buying into the mystery and spirituality that this pastor brought to her congregation. And I think that everybody likes to feel like their church is holy ground. So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to do that today too. I'm going to take my shoes off. Well, in our passage from Acts, we heard another time when God made the ground holy in a place that you wouldn't have expected. God was watching Peter, who was to go on trial for preaching about Jesus. He was supposed to go on trial the very next day. So if you remember what Gay was telling us, he was in chains in jail, and God found him there. God acted on his behalf. God sent an angel. Instead of taking his shoes off, this time the angel said, "Put your shoes on. Get up, put on your shoes and your cloak and follow me." And at these words, Peter's chains fell off. And this whole experience was so extraordinary that Peter thought that he was dreaming. Well, the angel led him past one guard and then another, and they came to an iron gate, and that gate opened all by itself, and all of a sudden, Peter was free. He was free to rejoin his friends. He was free to restart his ministry. So in these two stories that we heard this morning, in the call of Moses, he was called to take off his shoes. And in the call of Peter, he was called to put on his shoes. And that reinforces something that I have often felt, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And I've been in a group of some of my friends from college, and one of my friends is a guy named Chip Conrad, and he sort of helped me put together what it is that I've not really been able to articulate. He's writing a book about this. And Chip's research led him to the idea that we are becoming something at this moment. But we are also already something at this moment. Chip believes that we like to sort of think of ourselves as a noun. I am Walter. I was Walter yesterday, I'll be Walter tomorrow, but I'm also not just a noun, but I'm a verb. For instance, right now, I might show you my fist. My fist is this thing that you can see. We say this is a noun right now, but my hand is not always going to be balled up like this. Instead of being clenched and threatening, I can also open my hand so that it offers welcome and comfort. Well, we say there are other things that are permanent. More permanent than my fist. What about a rock? Of course, rocks are nouns. They are permanent. They're not going anywhere. But does that mean the rocks that we are looking at today are exactly the same rocks that they were thousands of years ago? One of the things that Lisa and I like to do is we like to go over to Panther Creek and we like to sit on the rocks right by the lake. And even as we sit on them, it's not because we are so enormous, but we just sit on them and pieces of rock will fall away and we'll pick them up and we'll skip them on the surface. So it's hard to think of a rock as a verb, a changing thing. I mean, you think of yourself as a noun, you are a thing, but aren't you becoming something more? Don't you have knowledge and insight today that you did not have this time last year? And one of the best things about the gospel is the promise that we can become more Jesus-like as we soak ourselves in prayer and in Scripture. There are times when the word I get from God is at this moment, what I am being called to do is be a noun, to just sit and be. I don't have to do anything. I am exactly who God created me to be. And just by being, I'm called to listen to God, focus on Him. This moment that we are sharing right now can be sacred and holy. You don't have to be or do anything. We are a noun. You are exactly who God wanted you to be. But there are other times where you're more of a verb. Put on your shoes, Walter. It's as if we hear the voice of God saying, "I have heard the cries of my people. I want to set them free. You go." And I love this idea of developing and growing. And when God first called me into ministry, I was only looking at who I was at that moment, and all that is all that I thought that I could be. But here's what God was doing for me in that moment. Here's how Jesus helped me grow. God's message to me was, "I know that you don't speak plainly. I know that you have a checkered past. I'll give you what you need as you go forward in faith."
That's scary. But I like the thought of God transforming me and reforming me and informing me. And if we want to be really Methodist today, if we really want to be Wesleyan this morning, God is sanctifying us, which means He's moving us forward into perfection. You don't like to think of yourself that way, that you are moving forward to perfection. But that is what our hope is when we are resurrected with Christ. That's what God planned for you before you were born, but we can never achieve the fruition of God's plan apart from Christ. And Christ can use whatever is going on in your life right now to bring you further along spiritually than you are at this moment. But you got to be careful because it may not take you in the direction that you intended. As you can see this morning, I've got several pairs of shoes here. My wife says I have more shoes than Imelda Marcos did. And when I'm preaching and teaching, most of the time I like to wear these shoes. These are my usual work shoes. And I feel God a lot of times when I'm wearing these shoes. But I'll also tell you, some of the most incredible things that I've seen in God's creation have been when I've been wearing these shoes. But you know what? There are times where we cross over. We think we're one thing, but we can be another thing. You know something? I have also worn these shoes when I've gone to the hospital. And these shoes are not very comfortable, but they look good, don't they? And I wear these shoes when I'm doing some of my most holy things, like weddings and funerals. And when I wear these shoes, I'm just doing what God created me to be. I am fast when I wear these shoes. These shoes right here, these are the shoes that I'm wearing when I'm enjoying a Sabbath. And I can sit down in these shoes and I can fall asleep faster than anybody ever fell asleep. But I can also do my devotionals in these shoes. These are the shoes that I'm wearing when I have some of the most holy moments of my day. I tell you, all of my shoes remind me that I can be in the will of God when I am just who I am. Or when I'm becoming whom God wants me to be. And I'll tell you what I really like about this season of Lent. It's the process of moving towards something while being the person that God has made me to be. Part of the journey toward Good Friday is that I, like the disciples, have times in my spiritual journey when I am totally dense. There are times in my spiritual journey where I can deny Christ three times before I even have my breakfast. And in those moments, I feel like such a failure, and my betrayal of Jesus feels almost fatal. But there are other moments when I can proclaim in faith, just like Peter did, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And it's true that Peter denied Jesus, but he kept coming back, and he became the rock. He always put his sandals back on the next morning and kept on trying to be the rock. Even after becoming the rock, though, his journey wasn't over. He was still growing. God continued to open his eyes and to expand his territory. God loved Peter just as he was, but he was still carved and shaped by the Spirit. As I'm looking out at this congregation this morning, one of the things I realize is you all are not a group of fully realized believers yet. Jesus came to a sinful and broken world. Jesus came for people just like you. You are loved and accepted just as you are, but I hope that you want even more. I hope you want to hear Jesus call with this invitation to grab your cloak, put on your shoes and come with me. And God bless you.
Wanted to share some of our concerns from our faith community this morning. Tom and Bev Moon continue to be in recovery from various ailments. Ruth Conry has been ill but is improving. Joyce Everett had a fall. Misty Graham Stapleton had foot surgery this last week. Tiffany Pollock's sister, Zasa Ballard, is recovering from surgeries in Nashville. Darius and Irma Doyle's grandson, Ryan, continues to be in the hospital but is showing signs of improvement from his auto accident. Bill Grigsby continues to need our prayers. Sally Miller was in the hospital but is back home at Regency now. Marcia Easley is on hospice but has really high spirits. And our prayers go out to the families surrounding the Austin East High School. Over the last few weeks, they've lost 4 young people to gun violence. Ben Stapleton's mother passed away. Her name was Paula, and her service will be on Tuesday. And Marcia and Max Beery's son, Keith, passed away this last week. And we just got word that Andy Aaron's father-in-law, Benny Wolf, was killed in a car accident last night. So we want to remember that family as they process this tragedy. And then we know that we have several others who are dealing with health issues that remain private at this time. And though we may not know all of those details, we can be assured that God knows what is happening. So let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, in the stillness of this moment, we remember that in love, you created us, and in love, you sustain us day after day. And so it is with great confidence that we bring our prayers to you, knowing that you hear us and that you will respond. We pray for the world around us, for the many who continue to suffer and call out for help. We pray for those without enough to eat in our community and elsewhere, for those caught up in violence and uprisings, for those picking up the pieces after a natural disaster, for those who are desperate to find work in order to support their families. We pray for your church around the world that it would be a living demonstration of your coming kingdom, offering hospitality to those who are in need, ready to help those who are desperate, showing love to friends and enemies alike, seeking to live in peace with all. But we also stop to pray for our families and our friends who are suffering, those that we have named to you this morning, those who might be struggling physically or emotionally, those who are working to overcome mental illness, those facing challenges at home or at work, and especially those who are grieving the death of a loved one. Gracious God, as we think about shoes this morning, we are thankful that you journey with us. No matter which shoes we are wearing in the moment, you are present. And we are thankful that you are faithful in every moment of our lives. We want to follow you more fully. We want to follow you by following your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, and the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Know that wherever we go and whatever we do, Christ is with us, and it is in His name we